Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be going in Psalm 62 on the topic of trust.
So you look primarily at verses 5 through 8, where it says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge."
Yeah, the main takeaway we focused on tonight was in verse 8, where it says, "Trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." And the thing that stood out to us was not just in the good, not just in the bad, not just when you feel like it, not just when it makes sense, but even when it doesn't make sense, trust in the Lord at all times, right? And such a foundation of what you're going to experience with the Lord is being able to trust at all times. One of the scriptures that we got wisdom from was Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Also got some out of Proverbs 16, verse 9. And it shows kind of the struggle that oftentimes we have, where it says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps," right? And you made a great point tonight where trust, the hard part about trust is when it doesn't make sense to you, right? When it doesn't add up, when it seems like it's contrary to what you know, right? And when I read Proverbs 16, verse 9, it shows, a man makes his decision in his heart, but it's like the Lord is ultimately the one who is in control. And at the end of the day, there's only so much that we can control. Right. So at least the problem of, you know, do we really know how the Lord works, and are we going to accept that? Are we going to lean into that and trust it?
Yeah, I think because it's that almost becomes, or it has become almost just a church cliche. How people say that is to trust in God, and nobody on the face of it disagrees with that. So if you say, look at Proverbs 3 and, you know, trust in God and lean not on your own understanding, everyone's like, "Oh, yeah, that sounds great." And, you know, we read out of Psalm 62 and, you know, trust in him at all times. Sounds great. Okay. Then you actually distill it down to real life application of trusting God versus your own understanding. We gave the example tonight. We give a few examples right at the end, but one of them was one of the guys wanted to get a credit card, and he was going to start just like drawing on debt, and so the discussion was where a proverb says that the borrower is servant to the lender, and how that can be a really unwise thing to be taking on debt because you're presuming on the future, as well as often getting stuck with the interest with it, right? And that, you know, where you're stuck in a cycle of just debt and paying the interest and so on and so forth. So the trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. So it's the Bible teaches, this way about finances, that wouldn't be a good idea. And you want to stay out of debt at all costs versus our society, right, which is very like debt leveraged across the board, right?
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of just, taking on a credit card, I'm maybe buying a little more car than I should, and many different examples of that. So now here's a real world application of trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, because that's, I want to have this credit card and I'm going to use this to buy X, Y, and Z versus, hey, the Bible's saying that's probably not a wise thing, right? But there'd be one example of many that you could give where the Bible is telling you something different than what your own understanding is. So now here's the real world application of trusting in the Lord. Now it doesn't sound as good, right? Because when you hear it, and it's, because it's become so just kind of church cliche, in my opinion, it's like, oh, that sounds great. Trust in the Lord. Okay. Are you actually trusting in the Lord when it comes down to the decisions that you make and how you think? And you made a good point that it's closely tied up with faith.
Yeah, a lot of times, and people don't understand how closely knit trust is with faith. Because if I'm gonna actually trust in you, I have to have the faith that you're worth it, right? I likened it to, you know, going skydiving, right? If you're going to jump out of the plane, and unless you're an expert in it, you're going to have an instructor with you. You're going to have the equipment. You're going to have trust in the pilot, the plane, the instructor, the equipment, the parachute, all the above, right? And then you're going to have to jump out. And I think our relationship with the Lord is very much like that when it comes to things that we're not sure of and things that we cannot see, because faith, by definition, by the Bible, is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not see.
Do not see, yeah.
Right? And so to have trust in the Lord, first and foremost, you're going to have faith in Him, right? And so without faith, it's hard to have trust there, right? The example I gave was out of Genesis 22, because I think you have, obviously it's a, there's way more that we could get into. This is a deep topic, right? But on one hand, you have God knows better, right? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts, right? So God says, don't go into debt. It's foolish. Our culture says, go into debt. It's easy, right? Okay, His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Are we going to trust Him with that? Other example that we made tonight. Bible says, wait until you're married to have sex. This is a great gift from God. Enjoy it. Have fun with it, right? He's not prude by any means, but only in marriage. It's safe. It'll save you a lot of hassle, a lot of trauma, a lot of trouble and pain later on in life. Culture says, this is fun. Why not do it right away? Why not do it with as many people as possible? And then you see all the negative side effects of it, right? So again, God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I think another section of that is you get a word from God and it's not making sense in the moment because you know your destiny. I don't know if destiny is the right word, but let's just say prophecy. You have a word over your life and in the present, it's not making sense, right? And then it's like, okay, how do I trust the Lord even when this isn't making sense right now? Because I feel like I've been given this word and all I really have is like, well, a kid used the example of blind faith tonight. It's just faith. Right? Am I going to believe God said what He said? And do I believe God is capable of moving in the situation? We have a kid right now who it seemed like everything was lined up perfectly for him to go to a certain school. The only thing being his arm wasn't healthy, yeah. Right? And the Lord literally worked it together to where he's in contact with this school. It's a prestigious school. Like him going to the school would change theoretically the trajectory of his life, right? Uh-huh. It's a school worth going to.
Yeah.
The Lord works it all together for him to have this tryout and we're all in faith. Like it's prayer that got him to this point and all of a sudden it's delayed, mm-hmm. right? And now he has a full year before he can try again. And I really felt for him tonight because he's literally being put in that situation. Am I going to trust in the Lord at all times? Because I was this close, and it was definitely the Lord who put me that close. But the Lord knows the past, present, and the future. For whatever reason, he said, not right now, right? And am I going to make the decision to trust that, or am I going to go, oh, this is why, lean on my own understanding, right? So an example I thought of that from the Bible is Genesis 22 with Abraham and Isaac, where on the surface, what the Lord's doing makes no sense. And yet Abraham is so faithful and has so much trust in the Lord that he does it anyway.
Yeah. And I'll pick up here where it says here in verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. And that's, you know, Hebrews underscores that right in verse 17, where it says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.
Mm.
So back to trust here, you know, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. So it's kind of a, you know, if you're Abraham, what exactly is going on here? But he's obeying the Lord here. Okay, and it says, Isaac asked him, "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." The two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, Hebrews tells you, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Right? It says, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am." He replied, "Do not lay a hand on the boy." He said, "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Right? And there's a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Right, and the ram is then off a sacrifice as a burnt offering instead of his son.
Abraham had so much faith that even when it seemed like the Lord was contradicting himself, he was still obedient. Right, and I think the battle is, can I lay aside my own pride? Can I lay aside my own ego? Right, can I lay aside? You made a great point earlier. My own idols. Right, Abraham very easily could have made an idol out of Isaac. And said, "No, I'm not letting this go. This is a no-go for me," right? But he had so much faith in the Lord, like Hebrews says. He reasoned, "I have so much trust in the Lord. If the Lord says so, he could even bring him back from the dead," right? And I think it's important to understand the Lord doesn't work the way we think he should work, right? I made the point earlier that it's almost like a good thriller or a good suspense movie, you know? It brings him the most glory to, at the last second, right, when he's about to put the knife through Isaac, right, at the last second, that's when he shows up, right? And a lot of times that's how it ends up being in our lives, because we have to realize that it is the Lord, right? And so many times it is beyond our control. And if we would just let go of that, right, put our faith and put our trust in the Lord, that's when we'll actually see him be faithful and show up in our circumstances. Because trust is a two-way street. On one second, we're being tested, can we trust the Lord with all of our circumstances? On the other, the Lord's seeing, can I trust you even in this circumstance? Even though I promised you Isaac, and even though I performed a miracle with Sarah, that even in your old age that you guys would have them, and through this, all these descendants would come, right? Will you still be faithful and trust me when I say, sacrifice him? Right. And then once I see that you are faithful and you do trust me, okay, I'll take it back. And yes, it will be established through Isaac, and I will bless you for your faithfulness. Right. Oftentimes we just don't make it through the test. We hold on to our idols. We hold on to our ego. We cower down and side with the culture. Right. We do what feels good. We let our feelings get in the way. But if we could fully trust in the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't feel good, that's when we see the real power of God in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you bring up idols, you bring up, you know, just the obedience of it too. I think that's where people struggle with trusting God, is that, well, here's the circumstances in my life. Here's how I feel that it should be going, or here's what I want to do, or here's what I think is right. And making exceptions for what God is saying on it. And they get stubborn hearts with it, right? Where they're not thinking with a mind of wisdom. They're just, they get stubborn, right? So, you know, it was, what was that in the fall where the one, remember what that youth pastor brought up to us, where the kid wasn't going to the youth study because he had homework?
Yeah.
It was the pastor's son, right?
Yeah.
So it's the pastor's son of the church of where the youth pastor's working, and the kid wasn't going to the youth Bible study because he had, quote, homework. Okay. You know, Matthew 6. All right, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, it's like, okay, so you have, I think their youth study was on Sunday night, right? So could have done it earlier Sunday. You could have done it Saturday. You could have done it Friday. You could have done it Thursday. You could still go to the youth study and just stay up later and do it. You could do it Monday. You could have faith that God is bigger than your homework. Yeah. That if you were to actually prioritize God, you would accomplish it like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe it would have taken you 3 hours instead it took you 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have enough faith to believe that God's bigger than your homework. Right?
Yeah.
So I say that because a lot of times that's how we live our lives. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it too. Where it's like, oh, this circumstance and this circumstance. Oh, and this is so hard. And what about this? And, you know, and then we make 1,000 reasons and excuses why somehow we don't follow what God says with our situations, with our circumstances, what God's calling us to do.
Yeah.
Even down to just prioritizing the Lord in our life over homework.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think, in my opinion, that's where I think, you know, the real trust comes in, where trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So there's a promise there with it that if you go away from your mindset on it and doing what you think is best, then God's going to make your path straight. So he's going to iron things out for you. He's going to put it all together and make it work. Mm-hmm. The problem is we're always leaning on our own understanding, what we think is best and what we want to do and when we want to do it. And then we're upset at God that it's not working together. We're mad at God that we're not experiencing the blessing that we should. Mm. We also wonder why God, you know, there seems to be no power or authority in our life.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Just a concluding thought. I think it comes full circle, and this is such a deep topic because it becomes a circle to where if you trust God, right, you're given an opportunity really every day, if you think about it, to seek first the kingdom. If you can boil it all down to just seek first the kingdom, right? There's so much that goes into that, but Jesus tried to make it simple for us. Seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will be given unto you
right.
as well.
Do right? not worry about tomorrow, right?
Do not worry.
Tomorrow, worry about self.
And there's many opportunities for us to worry about tomorrow. Hmm. And we can be so short-sighted, right? Number of reasons. But if we just execute on that, I'm just going to seek first the Lord, right? I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to trust in what he says about this situation. All of a sudden, you experience the blessing of that. And all of a sudden, it's so much easier to be thankful in that. And then it's like a full gone conclusion that you're just going to experience a better walk with him and have the power and authority that you're talking about, right? I think we brought it up last week where it's like you're being told to be thankful in all circumstances. You're being told to trust in all circumstances. You're being told to be thankful in all circumstances. You're only going to get there if you have the faith and put that into action by trusting.
Right, yeah, put it into action, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're given the opportunity to do that every single day, you see that, oh, it's not just a blanket trust in God.
Right.
It sounds great, but if you can actually apply that,
right.
it's like it completely changes your walk. It completely changes your life because you're experiencing the Lord on a whole nother level and just the blessing and the gratitude that comes from that, right? Even when it's not going your way, because you've already decided God's bigger than this, right? And it makes it so much easier to be thankful for that. I'm so thankful it didn't work out this year with that school,
right?
Because God said no, and I have so much faith and trust in him that I trust, like, that was the right answer.
Mm.
And I'm going to lean on him, not my own understanding. I'm going to lean on him. Okay, what am I supposed to be doing this year? And through that, he'll bless your faithfulness and line you up for next year, right? And then you can have a testimony out of that, right? And so it's a full circle thing. It's a deep topic. But, yeah, that's Psalm 62, the topic of trust. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske.